Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
FM News Talk 97.1.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what you're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a Mary the sweetheart.
For goodness sake, kid, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a Mary the sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
I couldn't be prouder to have had the opportunity to serve my country and particularly to work for this president. He has accomplished so much in these 2.5 years, and it's truly been something I will treasure forever. It's one of the greatest jobs I could ever have. I've loved every minute, even the hard minutes. I have loved it. I love the president. I love the team that I've had the opportunity to work for. The president is surrounded by some of the most incredible and most talented people you could ever imagine. And it's truly the most special experience. The only one I can think of that might top it just a little bit is the fact that I'm a mom. I have three amazing kids, and I'm going to spend a little more time with them.
Sarah Sanders announcing yesterday, right after we got off the air, that she is going to be resigning her position at the White House at the end of the month. Did you hear her voice when she started talking about her kids?
Oh my gosh, that crack, that little crack that happens when you're like, I love them so much.
I know that crack.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I'm very sad about this, and I totally get it, which makes me sad.
Mm-hmm.
See, here's the thing. Sarah is like 2 years, maybe a year and a half older than I am. I don't think she's a whole 2 years. She's in her mid-30s. I'm 35. I think she might have just turned 37 or was close to that. But she's got young kids. Mm-hmm. And when you are a working mother...
36.
She's 36? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're a year apart. I mean, Sarah Sanders is the White House press secretary, is my age, and I'm barely legal to drink alcohol. How is that possible? Okay, so I understand that when I see the numbers and the metrics that come in the ratings, and I am told who is listening to the station through the system that they have, I understand that there are a lot more people who are not 35-year-old females, or in Katie's case, 26-year-old mm-hmm. females, listening to the show. It's a bit of an older demographic. People are getting into talk radio. I think that podcasting has done a lot for talk radio. People might think, oh, well, you know, people aren't going to listen to talk radio anymore. They're listening to podcasting. I think that people my age and potentially your age, Katie, are now understanding the value of podcasting.
Yes.
And realizing that what we do here every day is instant, it's live, and it's consistent.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in some ways it might expose a younger generation to what we're doing here. I hope, for my career's sake, I hope that's the direction it goes in. But I think the value of what somebody like Sarah Sanders can offer, and on a much smaller scale here in St. Louis, Missouri, what I can offer is just a different voice in the room, a different perspective that is not always right, that does not always represent everybody else, but it's just a different perspective and approach to all of the same things that matter to people who aren't our age, who aren't our gender, who aren't our political affiliation, who aren't our skin color, our religion, or whatever other demographic seems important that day. So to have Sarah Sanders out front, you would think that she would be a postmodern feminist icon.
Oh, yeah.
You would think that her walking out there every day and handling, in my opinion, maybe saved the president of the United States the toughest job in the White House.
Yep.
The single front line to a media that is looking on the daily, even the minute-by-minute interval to destroy the president, to catch the president, to pin the president down on something he says. And good grief, think about if she was defending all of the things that Mike Pence was saying and tweeting. Nope. You, ma'am, get to do that for Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
She's amazing. She's truly amazing. She has resolve. She's super smart. She's super prepared. She takes no crap from nobody.
Mm-hmm.
She should be an icon.
Not to mention that I know Sean Spicer took a lot of crap, but the personal attacks that Sarah Sanders has to take every day, it has gone so much farther than just her attacking her because she's the press secretary. It's become
personal.
Very personal.
And that's kind of what I'm getting to here, I suppose. I would say that, has anybody heard that I'm on a diet?
Does anybody know?
Have you been listening to this radio station for 5 minutes? If you do that, you know that.
I'm on a diet.
So there's this thing called My Slim 180. Well, here's the God's honest truth. This morning I stepped on the scale. I weigh the least I've weighed since before my wedding. And it's all due to My Slim 180. Mm-hmm. And they are a sponsor of the show. And I'm very grateful for the opportunity to have done that with them. But the truth is, I was approached on two other occasions. I've been doing this radio show for since April of 2018, a year leading up until we started this conversation with My Slim 180 around February, I had been approached on at least two other occasions about potentially talking about some weight loss clients that would like to work with me and see if I make money off of that. So there's a benefit to me to be able to endorse it, but I need to make sure that it's going to work. And then I need to tell the world about it. So here I am, a 35-year-old woman. I've carried 3 children. I've had 1 miscarriage. I have gained weight and lost weight over the course of my adult life. Do you know what I don't want to do? Have all of you people looking at me based on how much I weigh right now and whether or not you think that I'm at a good weight.
Mm-hmm.
No woman wants that. That's terrifying. Terrifying. But when you consider the fact that I've done what has made me very happy with My Slim 180, and now I get to talk to you about it, I have to set aside my personal, fear of talking about that, because I've done this, it did work for me, and it is now something I can tell other people can help them. And I know that when I do that, I'm going to get some comments thrown my way that I'm just going to have to deal with, because I'm going to have to be okay enough with myself, who I am, how I am, enough so that when those things come at me, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. I'm happier now with myself than I have been in a long time. Go back to Sarah Sanders. When you think about the way they have personally attacked her, physically, her appearance, dresses, how she does her makeup, how is that not the most anti-feminist, anti-women's rights, progressive left thing that could possibly be done? When they first attack her for how she looks, how she appears, what size clothes she wears, how she does her makeup. I mean, that blows my mind. The hypocrisy that exists there blows my mind. Which is why she is a feminist icon, because she stood up for something she believed in the midst of the most aggressive, vitriolic, agenda-driven media on a regular basis. People, you know, I've seen up here like she's done the least amount of press conferences since the last 13 press secretaries. What do you get out of a press conference with her?
I heard that same thing, and I'm like, but the president comes out and talks for
himself.
Yes, himself.
Exactly. It's hard to get him away from a microphone or a camera.
Right.
Usually, the press secretary is how you gain access to the president. The president is everywhere all the time. And yet, she, as a mother of young children, decided to put really country first. you know, I'm here working. Yes, I'm not a stay-at-home mom, but that's because I'm a better mom when I'm not staying at home. My kids know that. My husband knows that. I know that. That me being here and doing something that I'm working on being good at is a way for me to contribute to my family, just like people who are really good at staying home contribute to their family. My best friend in the whole wide world stays at home. She has a college degree. She wanted to stay at home, and she knows it's a choice that she made, and she is so good at it.
To each their own.
And I look at her, and I'm like, girl, I do not know how you do that. And she's happy. And I'm so happy for her. And I don't look at her and then look at myself and go, well, who's the better mom?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're both doing what we know that is best. And if Sarah Sanders is leaving this position after being with the campaign into the administration, and she's going to do it to spend more time with her kids, I totally get it. And I commend her so very much for what she has sacrificed and given to this country in the face of what she's had to do to dedicate herself to something she truly believes in, which is a higher calling than anything else at the time that she was obligated to. So if she's not going to get the recognition, the red carpet treatment from the media, she's not getting it today. She should hold her head a little bit higher because of that. Because in order, from what I've seen, in order to get the approval of the people who go to work every day to try to destroy this president, I would hate to see what she would have to compromise in order to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't be worth it. It wouldn't be worth it at all. Real quick before we get to a break here, Frank's in the studio with us. Frank, what's going to happen tomorrow with this parade?
What's not going to happen tomorrow with
this
parade?
That's kind of like...
Have you been watching videos all day yesterday?
I want to know, like, agenda, advice on what time, if you want to actually see anything, where to be, what
get
to
there
do.
Now. No. It's not
well,
be that.
It appears as though 12:19 is a little too late.
Yeah, just you're late to get there. But if you want to stake out your spot now along the parade route, the parade route's going to be along Market Street from 18th and Market down to the Arch Grounds.
So that's like Union Station, starting around Union yep. Station-ish, if you're not familiar with the streets mm-hmm. downtown.
All the way to the Arch.
Woo.
All the way to the Arch. So all both
there,
sides of the streets.
Are there that many Blues fans to cover that much ground?
They're looking at 500,000.
Yeah. 500,000
is a figure that has been bandied about as a possible number of people into downtown
Where
St. Louis tomorrow.
Where are you going to be?
I don't know yet.
Downtown?
I hope so.
With the baby?
No.
No.
Well, remember, there is still that chance of rain tomorrow.
Yeah.
Most of the heavier stuff and the spotty stuff should be out of the way by about noon, but there's still a chance of a shower. That just seems silly to bring
a
month-old baby
down. Just think
of
how spoiled Felix is. 1 month here, yeah, I got a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I'm not going to risk that. That's just silliness. But,
Good dad.
As I was saying, all the way down to the Arch Grounds, they've got a stage set up on the Arch Grounds. They're going to have a rally down there. They're going to have speeches and people excited and cheering and all that kind of good stuff. You'll be able to bring in coolers to the Arch Grounds, soft-sided coolers, small soft-sided coolers, non-alcoholic beverages,
non-alcoholic
beverages
so you
can be brought in.
Plastic water bottles,
your water,
Gatorade.
Soda, your snacks, that sort of thing. There will be security checkpoints, 3 security checkpoints, 2 on the west end.
So wait a second. The security checkpoints is just for the rally.
Just the Arch.
Not for the
Correct.
Parade. Okay.
Yeah. Parade, you're on your own. It's a free-for-all.
Yeah.
Bring your coolers, bring your beer, you'll be fine.
You heard it here. That's amazing.
I'm not endorsing that, but they're not saying you
but
can't.
But do what you
sure.
want.
Sure.
Bring a chair, you know, sit along the parade route. Bring an umbrella in case it does rain. They will sell concessions.
Bring a positive attitude.
Yeah. They will sell concessions, limited concessions, beer, soda, water on the Arch Grounds. However, who carries cash?
I was just going to ask. That was the next question I was going to ask you.
Cash
or credit?
Cash only.
That's tough.
But remember, they're putting this together pretty quickly. To have the facilities to run a credit card, I'm sure, would be
and
a little more difficult and a little less, more time consuming. So cash only makes sense.
I understand the idea of wanting to sell as much product as you possibly can, but it might not be the worst thing ever to control
make it difficult?
The
yes.
amount of beer that
I'm
can be purchased.
Sure, I would assume they'll yes. have a 2 per person type limit per transaction, like they do at every sports
yeah.
venue in town.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it should be fun tomorrow. And if you want to hear it, our sister station, KMOX, will broadcast all of it starting at 11 a.m.
Yep,
nice.
And it's going to be on TV. Fox Sports Midwest is carrying it live, so you can watch the broadcast at Fox Sports Midwest as well. So I would like you to tweet at me, at Annie Fry Show, and tell me if you are intending to go to this parade, to this event. Frank, you intend to go?
I intend to go. folks taking Metrolink might be a good option for parking down here. Uber, they have some dedicated drop-off points.
I can tell you
Uber.
A parking nice. Garage not to park in.
Yeah.
Yeah, please don't park here. Don't take up our spaces.
Please don't.
Took me an hour and 15 minutes to get out of here after the watch party from the third floor. Mm. The third floor.
Should be fun tomorrow.
Oh, my gosh. We've got a baseball game. We've got a 9U. Man, schedule is lining up exactly where it needs
to be. Too much to do.
Yeah, so, but, you know, kids, all right?
Right.
Kids. Well, when we come back, Hans von Spakovsky is going to join us. We're going to talk about Kellyanne Conway and the accusations of her violating the Hatch Act. Did she do it? If she did, what the heck is the Hatch Act? And what's going to happen next? Hans is going to break all of that down. And remember, you can go to 971talk.com/events and get your free tickets to see Hans von Spakovsky, JJ Carafano, and hosted by Mark Cox at the Jay Scheidegger Center next week. Back with Hans in just a second.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The fact is I haven't been found in violation of the Hatch Act based on the 2020 election. You've got outside groups who have political agendas trying to file actions against me. It doesn't make it real. It doesn't even make it relevant.
Kellyanne Conway, they're making the comment about the news that came out yesterday regarding her violation of the Hatch Act and how she needs to be removed from any type of federal service. And here to talk about it is Hans von Spakovsky with the Heritage Foundation. Hans, thanks so much for coming on with us today.
Sure. Happy to talk to you about it.
So can you just kind of like, you could make it like Hatch Act 101. What is Kellyanne Conway being accused of? And did she or didn't she do it?
The Hatch Act is this federal law passed decades ago that is supposed to prevent federal employees from basically politicking while they're on the job. And what it's supposed to prevent is actual work to help a particular candidate get elected to office. And the best example I can give to you is this. If Kellyanne Conway was sitting in the White House and using her government telephone to call potential donors to the re-election campaign of the president, yeah, that would violate the Hatch Act. But the law itself is supposed to be construed very narrowly. And the reason for that is that, you know, when it comes to political activity, you're talking about the First Amendment. And in fact, there's a specific provision in the Hatch Act that says that it is not intended to prevent federal employees from, and this is an exact quote, expressing his opinion on political subjects and candidates. And the problem with what the Office of Special Counsel has done is they're confusing these provisions of the Hatch Act, and they're trying to say that Kellyanne Conway's expressing an opinion about, for example, the bad health care policy proposals being made by Bernie Sanders, that somehow violates the Hatch Act. And they're just wrong about that.
Yeah, that seems as though you wouldn't ever be able to have a political conversation with anybody, especially when you have this massive field of 2020 Democratic candidates that are all also legislators and politicians and governors. And right. They're out there countering what the president is saying that he wants to accomplish. Maybe it's on immigration, maybe it's on health care, you know, maybe it's on student loan debt or whatever the issue is. They're offering these solutions on the Democratic side of the aisle as a counter to what the president has to offer. I mean, how are you supposed to have that conversation ever without, if it were interpreted this broadly, violating that Hatch Act?
Well, in fact, I think that's exactly the mistake that the Office of Special Counsel is. But by the way, There's also a lot of evidence that this extraordinary letter that they sent to the White House, in which they demanded that she be fired, was the result of personal animus.
Hmm.
And the reason for that is that Kellyanne Conway, you know, has criticized the Office of Special Counsel, and apparently there was a conversation between the White House and people at OSC in which the OSC people said that they took great offense at Ms. Conway's comment and complained about the disrespect she was shown to them. And you can see that this influenced them because they sent a 17-page letter to the White House with the results of their investigation, which took them many months. They sent it to the White House at 5 o'clock p.m., and said that they expected a response back from the White House by 9 o'clock a.m. the next morning.
Ooh.
Now, what does that tell you about the way this agency is operating?
Yeah, and I look at, too, the way that it's been reported since the news came out that this watchdog group had highlighted this and how it's kind of consumed the media coverage of it. I don't, you know, I have a very hard time trusting any news story that comes out that has a significant political disadvantage here to one side or the other, because the more you see a consistency in verbiage and how things are reported and the consuming nature with which a story like this has on the more agenda-driven media networks, I feel as though the political angle is probably pretty sharp. And I guess it would suggest potentially that Kellyanne Conway does propose a bit of a threat to people who might want to see those Democratic candidates find success in the primary, potentially, maybe even further than that.
Oh, no, I think you're right about that. And look, I'll give you another example of how, look, she's very effective. And here's an area, again, where the Office of Special Counsel complained, and I think factually and legally, they're just wrong. Look, she's had a Twitter account for many, many years, and she's prolific on it. She has continued to be prolific on it since she went to work for the president. But that Twitter account was established a long time ago, long before she went to work for the government. And if you look at her Twitter account, she criticizes a lot of people. She criticizes a lot of policies that are proposed by many different Democrats and liberals. OSC is saying, oh, this is a government Twitter account, not a personal account, and therefore you're violating the Hatch Act with the criticisms you make. And by the way, you're violating the regulation that we put out on government employee use of social media platforms. Well, I mean, they're wrong about it being a government account, but to show you how overstretched they are in what they're doing, the Office of Special Counsel, they don't have any authority to issue any regulations.
Hmm.
So the regulation they issued on the supposed use of the social media accounts is totally void because they don't have the authority to do that.
Well, the president has said that Kellyanne Conway isn't going anywhere. So I guess we'll have to see how much this story is needed here in the news cycle going forward. I want to ask you, I got about a minute left here. I want to ask you real quick about these subpoenas or this testimony that we've seen with Donald Trump Jr. and Hope Hicks going in to have these conversations. How does this all fit into the obstruction investigation by the House and the pending impeachment that we all anticipate them engaging in?
Well, it's as if the Democrats are hoping that somehow they're going to find something that Bob Mueller didn't already uncover in a 2-year investigation with 40 people in it and spending $30 million. And it's very clear they're just desperate to try to find something. Are they? I seriously doubt it. I think the Mueller campaign covered just about everything.
Yeah, it sure seems like that. His conference said, if you want to know anything from me, you can read the report, because anything I would say is definitely in there. Well, Hans von Spakovsky is going to join Mark Cox next Thursday at the Jay Scheidegger Center. And we encourage you to go to 971talk.com/events to get your free tickets. I know there have been hundreds that have been collected already, but there's still a few more. And so, Hans, we look forward to welcoming you into St. Louis next week. And you can celebrate a Blues victory with us if you like.
Yeah, I want to see the Stanley Cup. Am I going to get to do that?
It's in St. Louis. It's so exciting. We are very excited about that. Hans, thank you so much for your insights. Always appreciated.
Sure thing. Bye-bye.
Yep. See you next week. HVonSpakovskyHeritage.org. Great insight there. He's going to be joined by J.J. Carafano, hosted by Mark Cox. And I'm going to tell you what, with everything that's going on with Iran right now and the questions surrounding that foreign policy, I can't think of a better duo between what's going on in Washington, D.C. and what's going on in the world than Hans von Spakovsky and J.J. Carafano at your fingertips, hosted by Mark Cox, best in the business when it comes to doing these types of things next week. 971talk.com/events. Get your tickets now. They're free. Just reserve them. We just want to know you're coming. That's really that simple. We'll be back. Jamie Rivers was on with us yesterday. We're going to have that for you next.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
I don't have a whole lot more opportunities to do that.
Right?
I mean, I guess I can do it whenever I want, but it's more fun when it makes sense. Yesterday, we spoke with Jamie Rivers on the show and kind of recapped the game, the season, and the expectation. Jamie Rivers has been with us on this playoff run for most of it, and being able to talk to him was exciting and fun and insightful, especially for people who are still learning to understand the ins and outs of hockey. And we wanted to make sure that we brought that back to you today so you could hear it in case you missed it, because it was in the 2 o'clock hour yesterday. Frank updated us at the beginning of the hour about the parade. We will re-update you about that here in the next hour as well. But before we do that, let's hear from Jamie Rivers from yesterday. Jamie Rivers, thank you so much for coming on with us today. It's great to talk to you.
Yeah, my pleasure. This, what a great day it is for St. Louis.
For sure. So I don't know how long you stayed out last night, but watching the post-game show and being able to take in on social media a lot of, like, you know, Facebook Lives and pictures and images of people celebrating downtown, St. Louis gets to have a Stanley Cup in their possession now. You've played for this organization. You've been covering this organization for some time now. What does this mean for the franchise, for the fans, and especially for these players?
Well, I mean, the fact that the franchise has never won a Stanley Cup until last night, you know, that was tough on the city. It was tough on the fan base because it is such an amazing fan base, and these fans have supported this team through thick and thin and always been there, and unfortunately they had never been rewarded with the Stanley Cup. And you know, I've said this before, is myself along with other alumni have carried a burden around with us that we never were able to do it for the fan base. And there'll be guys like Gretzky and Hull and McInnes and Pronger, go down the list of Hall of Famers that just couldn't get it done, and then last night these guys get it done. And you could just feel like a weight come off of the city. And the people at Busch Stadium were going nuts. The people at Enterprise were going nuts. People at Ballpark Village, at houses. My kids at home were going nuts. My wife is going crazy. Like, just an amazing time for St. Louis people and certainly the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, and let's talk a little bit about the game, because for somebody who, like myself, who I don't know the ins and outs of hockey, and I've been saturating myself with it, especially after this January to now run, as the story just built and built and built with each game that the Blues played in. You go into Game 7, you're nervous, you're expecting it to kind of, you know, be back and forth. It could go overtime with these two teams. And it really felt like the Blues, you know, looking back on it, had it from the jump. What do you think about their performance there in Game 7?
Yeah, you know, both teams, I mean, the pace of the game was incredible, first of all. I mean, it felt like, you know, that you're watching it in fast forward at times because these two teams are just getting after it so hard. And I will say that Boston, I felt, came out swinging. You know, they came out, and Jordan Binnington, he was back. You know, the Game 5 Jordan Binnington that shut the door on the Bruins in their building, well, guess what? He was back in Game 7 to do the same thing to the Boston Bruins. And about halfway through the period, I thought to myself, he's going to be really hard to beat tonight. And based upon that, the Blues probably only have to score maybe a goal or two.
Mm-hmm.
Well, little did I know that they'd go down and score, you know, one early. Ryan O'Reilly, of course, Conn Smythe winner MVP. He gets the first one. And then Alex Pietrangelo. I don't want to say it was the nail in the coffin at that point, but with under 10 seconds left, he jumps up as a defenseman. Great play by Jaden Schwartz. And Petro goes forehand, backhand into the net. And, you know, they're celebrating. And then the period is over. That's a big body blow to any team when you give up a goal in the last minute, let alone the last 10 seconds, and it's game seven, and now you're trying to beat Jordan Binnington, who seems unbeatable. That's a lot for a team to take on.
Let's talk about Binnington's performance last night, too, because he kind of played out of his mind. He was like a brick wall in front of the goal. To the story specifically for our listeners who, you know, we're not living and dying by every detail that goes on, you know, in the weeds of hockey and of these players. But the story behind Binnington is extremely interesting. Understanding that he's a rookie, but comparing it to his age and when he started playing, you know, being the everyday goalie for the Blues, explain the road to Game 7 last night for Jordan Binnington and the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, I mean, this guy, I mean, talk about a story. And like you mentioned just moments ago, the amount of stories that the St. Louis Blues have attached to their championship run this year is incredible. But the Jordan Binnington story of, you know, he's a career minor leaguer at the time, and he's even the kicker, and I'm sure we've discussed it, he was on loan to the Boston Bruins farm team last year to play in the American Hockey League as their goalie.
Wow.
So talk about being in enemy territory, just trying to do your job last year. And then this year, you know, things go a little bit better for him, and the Blues hit a road bump in the road, and they have to look elsewhere other than Jake Allen. And Jordan Binnington happened to be next man up, which, by the way, he really wasn't next man up. Ville Husso, who's their blue chip prospect, was supposed to be next guy up, but he was injured. So it's funny how these things work. And then Jordan Binnington comes up to the NHL. Craig Berube decides to go with him because, hey, why not? I mean, they weren't doing well anyways. Let's see what the kid's got. He gets in there. The night after Gloria had taken a life of its own in Philly, he goes out and pitches a shutout, and the rest is history. So it's incredible to see a young man go through what he's gone through and to come in when he did, when things were so bad, and now he's delivered a Stanley Cup to the city of St. Louis.
You know, you mentioned another name there that just adds to the drama behind this playoff run and championship run, Coach Berube. For the people who don't know the entirety of the story of this season, explain to me how Berube came on the scene and his current status with the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, he was brought on as an associate coach for Mike Yeo last year. And then when Mike Yeo was relieved of his duties, Doug Armstrong put the interim tag on him. And actually at the press conference, talking to everybody, said, well, we're going to scour the face of the earth for our next head coach. And I don't think Craig Berube was in his plans at the time, or not at the top of his list. And, you know, so as the story goes, Craig Berube just goes to work and develops better relationships with the players, and they start to bond and they start to create a culture. And fast forward to where the team has put 12 wins in a row. They're back in the playoffs. And, of course, everybody's asking questions then about, will the interim tag be removed? And Craig Berube was like, no, I don't want it removed. You know, he wanted to leave it there because he didn't want the distractions for the team. He didn't want it to look like, well, he got his contract, and so what about the rest of the guys? He wanted to be in the fire with the players so that everybody was on a level playing field. And you could tell the way the players responded and played for him that they genuinely loved playing for him. And the celebrations that went on last night, I mean, it was incredible. You can tell that this team was extremely close, and that's credit to Craig Berube.
Fantastic. I mean, the storyline is just amazing. It's almost actually unbelievable. If you watched the movie that could be made over the course of this season, you might think it was a little too unbelievable how all of these stories intertwine with one another. I don't want to get too far into talking about what happens next for the St. Louis Blues, but I will ask you, this team that we have hoisting the Stanley Cup at this point in time right now, when the Blues take the ice again, when the next season starts here, does it look a lot like this team? Are there a lot of question marks out there about what happens next? Or is this the start of something big for the Blues?
Well, honestly, their contract situation with almost the entire team is already there. I think they have two guys, Pat Maroon and Carl Gunnarsson, that will be unrestricted free agents. They have a couple of restricted free agents, but realistically, they could ice almost the same team next year. Now, that never happens exactly like that, but they will have a team that resembles a lot of what was in the team picture last night with the Stanley Cup. And now the tough part of that is with the grind of an 82-game schedule and then a shortened summer because the Blues went to Game 7 in the Stanley Cup Final, there's going to be less time to be prepared for next season. And going back-to-back in the NHL is extremely difficult. But, this team, it sort of falls into place. Whenever the odds are stacked up against them, they seem to enjoy that moment and thrive in that environment and love proving people wrong. So, you know what? You never know. But to your question, yes, this team could look almost identical next year.
I think that's good for people to hear, especially as I'm pretty sure the fan base behind the St. Louis Blues is massively exponentially expanded in the last month or so, for sure, to know that the team that they're going to see on the ice in a few months from now is familiar to them and has that street cred, I think is pretty exciting. We're speaking with the analyst of the Blues live pre- and post-game shows on Fox Sports Midwest, Jamie Rivers. I want to ask you one last question here before I let you go. Something you said last night on the post-game coverage, a little bit about you were a Blues player yourself. You're in the media now with the St. Louis Blues, but you talked about how a lot of people come to St. Louis, and the words you used was they marry a St. Louis girl, and then they find themselves staying here. And you described that, as I understand, as your story as well. For St. Louis, and for being a St. Louisan now, what do you think about this city, the way the city is recognized nationwide, how the St. Louis Blues championship is going to contribute to that reputation on a nationwide scale, and why you chose to make it home?
Yeah, well, to answer your first question, or your last question first, rather, this was an incredible spot to be. And when I came here at 18 years old, I fell in love with the people of St. Louis and how genuine people were and just the hockey fan base, how receptive they were to the outsiders, Canadian guys or wherever we came from. And I never forgot that. And I always wanted to stay here after that, thinking that this would be a great place to live. Little did I know I would marry a St. Louis girl at the time and, process of elimination. Now I'm fully a St. Louis, and so are my kids and all that stuff. So that part of it was, on its own. Now, what I really get bothered by is, during the whole St. Louis Rams exit of the city, Stan Kroenke and his group of people went out there and voiced their displeasures about the city of St. Louis and said some pretty horrible things. And I think the national media at times, and there are events that have happened, and St. Louis has gotten some bad press over the years, but I can't defend this place enough. I love it here. I'm raising my kids here. 40-plus alumni players live in St. Louis and area, and they call this home, and they love it too. And it's a damn great place to live and raise a family. And I'm so happy now that the St. Louis Blues, on a national level, will be recognized for a positive accomplishment and for how amazing the fan base was during this run. So it's really a great time for the city as well as the hockey fans.
Oh, Jamie, I couldn't have said it better myself. My hands were literally in the air like, preach, when you mentioned Stan Kroenke's name. I'm like, yes, yes, thank you so much for saying that. Because that's a big black eye on the city because of the way it was painted in the Rams exit. And the people here who know the truth of how that all went down. And unfortunately, how a lot of people weren't interested in the actual back end story of that exit. It's disparaging to a group of people, fans, sports fans, that are very knowledgeable, that are very passionate and very dedicated, looking over the arc of the St. Louis Rams and their willingness and ability to win and how that tapered off towards the end. It can't be mentioned enough. So I'm grateful that you mentioned it here. I hope that you enjoyed the video that we put together.
That was incredible. That was incredible. I laughed and enjoyed it so much. I thought it was genius, and I really, hats off. That was awesome.
We had it suggested, Katie's comment about the PK was killer or whatever. I don't know who PK is, but we're going to get Katie a PK Blues jersey out of this. Sorry.
Yeah, we're going to get her a Blues jersey and a Hockey for Dummies now. So
she can be the author. Well, we love it. And if you keep tweeting, we might keep making videos because it's just easy. We appreciate you and our conversations that we've had over this hockey season, and we look forward to having more in the future. Jamie Rivers, thanks so much. So we're going to be having Jamie Rivers on again as soon as he tweets more cool things that Katie is going to interpret for us because... It's amazing. It just is. Gabe Pfeiffer is coming in studio with us. I have so many things that I want to talk to him about. And he's going to be in studio with us all the next hour. 314-241-9797. Your calls as well in a minute.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.